selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class of social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rain, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slide, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rain, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. It's Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And it is the 17th of January 2017. And I guess, as far as I recollect, September the 20th is when Mr. Trump becomes the inaugurated new president of the United States of America. And it's getting bloody retarded. You know, I'm losing friends, but I'm gaining friends. I'm kind of staying about even right now. A lot of these American Canadian, mostly American Canadian, the mine who are pro Israel. Don't like my connection with Israel and the United Nations, and they get a little ticked off. Well, yeah, the United Nations sucks, man. But, like, Israel's our friend, right? You know, this is what the media, schools, and the movies, I guess, and all that kind of crap's all about, is just take absolute bull crap, put it as real news, and then just don't do any research. Silly, in a way. But, you know, we all get over it, and sooner or later, understand the scam, or how bad they've been scammed all these years, and come to realization of the proof. Now, I'm going to talk about a kind of a local Jew today. I was in an article yesterday from a friend, and I'm not sure if she caught wind what the hell was going on in that story, but I'm going to go through a little bit. And then the next story from the same guy. And it's quite pathetic. It's a right-wing newspaper. And I'm a wing. I'm neither right or left. I'm not a bird. I'm a man. Wings. So I don't get in with the wingy crowd too much. It's rather sad, actually. Some clamor away and hang on wingness, if you will. I identify as right wing.
Yeah, well, I'm left wing. And
He made me feel uncomfortable. Is I going to call human rights? Well, you just go right ahead and do that, darling, because I'm a right-wing red mother. So I'm going to blow your freaking head off if you keep this shit up. See, so that's divide and conquer is all. Right-wing, left-wing. And fact is, there's two things on a bird flying us to somewhere. We don't want to get to the final destination. And I wish people would just take the right left wing thing. I get really pissed off actually when I hear right left. It just pisses me off because you either got players in action or you got idiots. That's your two choices. That's it. Two choices. Players or idiots. So don't be a player and don't be an idiot. So take your wings and throw them away because you're not a bird. You're a man or a woman. Anyways, global warming is coming down us again. We've got carbon taxes and we've got, can't use natural gas, can't use coal. Oil is ugly, man. Oil, ooh, bad news shit that is. And because we've got to save the environment because of global warming. Well, either they've been extremely successful or they're full of crap from the get-go. Well, we know what they are. They're full of crap from the get-go. Records on this date in my little town in Ontario, Canada. The record high. Now, people are going, oh, it's really hot, right? This is like melting. Well, yeah, it's called the January thaw. Some are long and warm, and some don't really last more than a day or two, such as the cycles of the Earth and the sun and the moon and stars and all that kind of crap. So tomorrow's supposed to be two, then it's supposed to be three on Thursday, five on Friday, six on Saturday, six on Sunday, five on Monday, five on Tuesday. Well, gee, that sounds like global warming. Really? Not. The record high for this day in my little town was 8.9 degrees. And that happened, I don't know, let's take a look here, 1870. 1870 was a record high of 8.9 degrees Celsius for my little town in Ontario. So if it was 1870, it was 8.9 degrees, and they're worried about a 2-degree increase over 100 years from because scientists are psychics, you know. People think scientists work off of facts or theories that are beat away at until they can become a fact. No, not so much. They can predict the future. So if the high was 8.9, 1870, supposed to be 6 degrees on Saturday and Sunday, we're 2.9 degrees below the record high. What's going on here? Well, what's the record low? The record low for my little town on Sunday, minus 18.9 degrees. And when did that occur? It was 8.9 in 1870, you'd think it would have been, oh, I don't know, 200-300 years prior to that, that would have been minus 18.9. I mean, considering the scientists say as we move along and use fossil fuels, which they were using in 1870, that the temperature would increase. Well, it was 18.9 in my little town in the year 2000. Oops. Yes, of course, says the scientist, but the overall is a warming trend. Oh, shut up. You know, first scientist I run into, I'm going to give him a noogie right in the forehead for being an idiot. And believing propaganda that's fed to him through the universities. How can a scientist be so stupid? Well, they taught us this stuff. Exactly. They didn't ask any questions, which makes you a complete freaking brain dead idiot. That I can't help you. That I can't help you with. Anyways, that's the weather picture here in my little town. Now, I was sent a, if I can dig that out, where is this IP thing here? This is a thing that was sent to me. This is actually a funny story. She sent me a couple of things. She sends me things from now and again, as a whole bunch of other people do. But we'll get to this one first, because it's kind of funny. I find it funny, anyways. This is CANW News Talk, AM 980, Vancouver's news, Vancouver's talk. News shows on demand, insiders about. Here's the story. Disturbing comments painted on Vancouver school. Ooh. By Emily Lazton. If you've driven by the Lord Byng, 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 secondary school in the west side, should be on the west side, whatever, you may have noticed some disturbing and derogatory remarks, comments spray painted on the school. Former Vancouver School Board Trustee Patty Buckus says she became aware of the graffiti Friday. One comment, are you ready for this? One comment stated, there are only two genders. And a derogatory comment, which this doesn't continue, just said the others, dot, 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 dot. In another area, another one, a comment that President-elect Trump said about grabbing a woman's body parts, and there was a third that was a remark about an individual teacher. Baucus immediately contacted the school board. VSB, Vancouver School Board employee, did a and was able to paint over the graffiti. Baucus says she's thankful for the VSB employee who is taking the time this Christmas Eve to cover up the nasty comments. It's now been painted over, and hopefully that will be the end of that. Of course, Baucus also notified the Vancouver police of the incident. Now, that's a simple, you should have said there's two sexes, two genders, but apparently this school board trustee, Patty Baucus, into a bit of a fit. Because I think there's what, 70 now, different genders? But it got the school board trustee all excited. And this is the kind of idiot world we live in now. Where is the story I'm looking for here? Oh, don't tell me it's not here now. What the heck? Just a second here. Momento. Oh, here we have it. Canada's carbon pricing in the Toronto, we're as right wing as you can get newspaper. Our left wing newspaper being the Toronto Star. But this one, I love this because I love the way it's written. This is from Laurie Goldstein. And Laurie is a man, I think. He's gotten quite fat. Now, I talked to Laurie a long time ago about this very topic. And Laurie didn't want anything to do with it. And the topic was about the fraud that was going on with our system and the shutdown of our coal plants and a whole bunch of other stuff. But Lori didn't want to discuss any of that stuff because it was new, and all the papers, all the media was pushing that we needed windmills and solar panels, and we got to shut down our coal plants and everything. So now this is Wednesday, December the 16th, 2015. Since the Paris Climate Agreement is fraud, this has come from Lori Goldstein, Jewish writer, used to be the editor of the Toronto Sun. And so Laurie says, since the Paris Climate Agreement is a fraud, it's only fitting that the looming carbon pricing schemes of Canada's federal and provincial governments are fraudulent as well. The reason they are fraudulent is that when, with the exception of BC's carbon tax, none are revenue neutral. Any carbon pricing scheme that is not revenue neutral does not have its primary purpose lowering greenhouse gas emissions linked to climate change. Rather, it's a cash grab by financially incompetent governments. These governments, first of all, are not governments. They're companies. They're the board of directors of the companies, be it the provinces or the states. They're the board of directors of a business, a crown business. So, you know, he ought to be able to get at least that part of it right. He says any carbon pricing scheme that is not revenue neutral does not have its primary purpose lowering greenhouse gas emissions linked to climate change. Why didn't you come out and say the whole thing's a freaking fraud? Rather, it's a cash grab by financially incompetent governors. Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne's cap and trade, which starts in 2017, will raise the price of almost everything, isn't revenue neutral. Alberta Premier Rachel Notley wrongly claimed her carbon tax, which will raise taxes on almost everything starting in 2017, is revenue neutral, meaning she's misleading Albertans or doesn't understand what it means. And he goes, revenue neutral. And the prime minister and so on and so forth. And let me see, the one that is, I saw in the paper today on my way to get coffee. Is this the one here? I apologize, I got so many freaking links open. Nope, that ain't it. Let me move along here. I had it open. Just got to dig it out. Where did that get to? Oh, here we go. Corey Goldstein, again, Grits got along with closure of coal-fired plants. A new Fraser Institute study by economist Ross McKendrick and directly challenges the major financial justification Ontario's Liberals government gave for closing down its five coal-powered electricity plants. Under Kathleen Wynne and her predecessor, Dalton McGuinty, the government has always maintained that while its decision to close the coal plants cost billions of dollars and contributed to Ontario's soaring electricity prices, the resulting decrease in air pollution saved Ontario $3 billion annually in health costs. The Liberals have since revised this figure to $4.4 billion when they saw environmental costs are added. In fact, counters Kenneth Green, Senior Director of Natural Resource Studies at the Fraser Institute, Ontario closing coal-fired plants with promises to greatly reduce air pollution and save billions of dollars in health costs, neither of which come true. Now the province has the most expensive energy in North America. So what he's doing is he's slamming the Liberals and not giving credit to the Conservatives who came before the Liberals, who did some really screwy deals in the privatization of our electricity. And privatized the thing, all part and parcel, which was to close down the coal plant, so the investors. And Enron was involved in the wind business. I think Florida Power and Light or Light and Power bought the assets of Enron's wind division when Enron went in the toilet. Now, Enron's claim to fame was in California doing a manipulation of electricity prices. And this is all this is about. And Lord Goldstein knows all about it. He's been told all about it. But he never mentioned this in his articles. And so the man's a fraud. Complete here. He's talking about this is a fraud, that's a fraud, this is a fraud. Well, Mr. Goldstein, you're the fraud. You're the freaking fraud. You're writing for this right-wing paper. You know the truth. You don't bring the truth forward, which makes you a fraud. Anyways, and I remember way back when they were getting on about a few years before they were going to start shutting down the coal plants here. This is what I love about these data. This data keep puking out at people. I think it was something like 1,600 people die every year in Ontario directly caused by the emissions of the coal plants. Well, where's this data coming from? Well, I'm sorry to hear Grandpa passed away. Yeah, well, the coal plants killed him. The emissions from the coal plants killed Grandpa. And 1,599 others died the same year, direct caused by coal emissions. This is that I did speak with the senior policy advisor for the Ministry of Energy way back before they closed the coal plants down, when all the hoo-ha was going about all these people dropping dead from the emissions from the coal plants and how the emissions from the coal plants were destroying everyone's future and lives, and in particular the planet would never survive with five coal plants running in the province of Ontario. Now, the coal plants in Ontario were mainly used for balance, load balancing, okay, because they're fast. You can ramp the coal plant up and down real quick, keep the lines balanced. And neutrals are somewhat smaller than they should be, so you got to have some way to balance the load quick, and that's what they were mainly used for. And so when I talked to the senior policy advisor, the deal was, why all the hoo-ha about the coal plants? The coal plants are easy as snot to fix. But there's no money in it. There's no money in it for the offshore investors. There's no money in it from the setup that Enron brought here. And it's all about money. And where get the money from? They don't produce anything, so they've got to steal it from you. So get control of what was, I believe, the largest publicly owned electricity utility on the planet that was set up to run at cost in order to give Ontario manufacturers a competitive advantage and the people to keep them with reasonable electricity rates. So we went from some of the lowest rates to the highest rates. What, because of five coal plants? That isn't possible. No, but as long as the coal was running, we didn't need windmills and solar panels, of which don't work anyway. Big total scam, but Laurie's never brought that scam forward. The right wing picks at the left wing, and the left wing picks at the right wing. And the right-minded people buy the right-wing newspapers, and the left-minded people buy the left-wing newspapers or pay attention to the left-wing media. And so what are the papers doing? They're dividing and conquering because they're playing the left-right game as well. No, according to the senior policy advisor, I was correct. And I talked to lots of engineers, talked to universities, And the conclusions were always the same. Build one small nuke, put the scrubber on the coal plant, and we've got the as green as you can get, stable, cost-effective electrical system you can buy. And he agreed with that. So what the hell went on here? And he said, one is sound engineering, and the other is politics. You know those little bees that feed on them? Well, we haven't managed to kick off this yet. We're still playing the game of politics. We're having our lives destroyed because of it, because we're not smart enough to give our dog or a cat a bath to get rid of the things that are feeding on it. But us, we're not that smart. We just keep wallowing around in the nonsense. But what I was told is that I was correct, but the problem is that the scrubbers on the coal plants don't stop the CO2. Now, there's the scam we have to deal with. Wait a minute. Hasn't the newspapers been telling us for years we shut the coal plants that 1,600 and some people die every year in Ontario because of the emissions from the coal plant? So who killed these 1,600 people a year? The coal plants or the government? Apparently the government, because the government had the capacity to put the scrubbers on the coal plants to stop the emissions. Problem is, the scrubbers don't stop CO2. Now, nobody I know of has ever died of CO2, and the data on the 1,600 some odd people that die every directly from the emissions from the coal plants in Ontario is ludicrous. So it wasn't about the deaths of some 1,600 phantom people. I've never heard of anybody, and I'd like to see a death certificate of someone who died directly because of the emissions coming out of the coal plants in Ontario. I doubt it exists. But the media is not into news or into truth. They're into spin. And they were told to spin that story, and they spun it. And Lori Goldstein, a little Jew, spun it as well. And when confronted with the truth, you run like a little girl. Because Lori and the media are not into the truth. I forget who that guy was I read about many years ago who was for one of the big papers in the United States, New York, I think, who on retirement was getting a party and explained to these people that they are simply prostitutes of the rich men. Should they dare print their own opinion, they would find themselves on the street in a moment, not only without a job, but unemployable in the industry. So these little pencil necks just keep spinning it out. Kind of like over there at the Ministry of Truth in 1984. So now after all these years, the coal plant has been shut down and we're inundated with windmills that are driving people out of their homes and our hydro rates have gone through the ceiling. Lori takes it upon himself to blame the liberals. Because, of course, there's another election coming down the road. Well, maybe we can get the conservatives. But wait a minute. It was the conservatives, the Ontario conservatives in 2007 election, who promised in their action book that if elected, they would put even more mills into Ontario than the Liberals. This all seems forgotten. CO2, whether Lori Goldstein recognizes it or not, is a life gas. Nobody's died from CO2. So we want to shut the coal plants down to save people from dying from the emissions of the coal plants. But when the coal plants are shut down, it's not about coal emissions. It never was about coal emissions. It's about CO2 emissions, which never killed anybody. How can life gas kill somebody? So it's all a fraud. So this, we always get this. We got the right-wing think tanks and the left-wing think tanks that keeps people divided. We got the right-left media, which keeps divided. We got the right-left political parties, which keeps people divided. Now, if we're going to beat these crackers back, we're going to have to join forces. We're going to have to ditch this left nonsense. Look at this, eh? This is this story. When did this story come out? Today. January the 17th, 2017. I was having conversations with the senior policy advisor in 2007. That's 10 freaking years ago. So in 2017, the Fraser Institution comes out and says the Fraser study notes that while closing Ontario coal plants had no effect on nitrogen oxide levels, an important component of smog, U.S. monthly average NOx emissions fell from 556 megatons in 2002 to about 263 megatons in 2014. Given that the authors say the government's claim closing Ontario's coal plants saved $3 billion annually health costs plausible. Well, so is global warming plausible, you stupid asses? All these think tanks, all these people, all these professors, all these universities, all these media people, all these politicians, no one's voicing anything about the fraud of climate change. Well, if they did, they'd likely find themselves on the street in the morning without a job and unemployable in the industry. So they just keep this stuff out. As far as I'm concerned, every newspaper ought to be sued. Every news editor ought to be sued. Every reporter that reports false stories ought to be sued. And people reading this garbage ought to get sued. Because as long as they're reading this garbage, they're part of the problem. So I don't know what's going to happen to on the 20th. Today's the 17th. So I do a show on the 19th. So we'll see how much they ramp this up prior to the inauguration. I can't talk. I posted this thing out on Facebook last night. Katy Perry, Scarlett Johansson share among celebrities set to join Women's March in Washington, or March on Washington. I expect more than 100 people to join the rally January 21st to protect rights of women. Organizers expect tens of thousands of people to attend the rally January 21st in D.C. near the U.S. Capitol, which aims to send a message to all levels of government about defending equality and human rights. Human rights are monkey rights, animal rights. These celebs are so stupid, and people use human rights constantly, and a human, by definition, is something that came from a great ape. And, well, that's just stupid. So comedian Amy Schumer, pop star Katy Perry, Cher, and Ugly Betty's Ugly Betty's America Ferrera are among the Hollywood celebrities planning to attend. Somebody's name is America Ferrera? Okay, I guess. Since the election, so many fear that their voices will go unheard. Ferrera, who will serve as chair of the artist table, said in a statement earlier this week, as artists, women, and most importantly, dedicated Americans, it is critical that we stand together in solidarity for the protection, dignity, and rights of our communities. You got no protection, you obviously got no dignity, and you got no rights. You only got the corporate, the corporation holds you under. You're a freaking stupid slave, and get it through your dumb ass celebrity head. The march will take place one day after President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration, although organizers say the planned demonstration is not specifically anti-Trump. Fighting to protect bodies and choices, comedian Chelsea Handler, Patricia Arquette, Olivia Wilde, Julianne Moore, and the Avengers actress Scarlett Johansson are also scheduled to participate. I am marching on Washington to let our next president know that we, men and women alike, will not stand down or be silenced and will fight to protect our bodies and our choices, Johansson said in a statement referring to the Trump administration's plans to defund Planned Parenthood. Singer actress Zendaya Will and Grace star Deborah Messing and actor Rosie Perez are also getting involved in the event, which is hosting more than 300 sister marches across the United States and Canada and around the world. We stand together in solidarity, and we expect elected leaders to act to protect the rights of women, their families, and their communities, the WMW organization wrote in a statement on its website. And we have a woman from Windsor, apparently, who's going to join the march on Washington for Trump's inauguration. And, so some woman from Windsor, Ontario, is going to head down to Washington. Now, the problem with this is that, and this is what got me in a little bit of trouble last night. Now, these are the big font names on top of this story: Katy Perry, Scarlett Johansson, and Cher. Now, I did a really quick search on these three, which I already knew. I already knew the answer before I ever looked at it. Katy Perry, Scarlett Johansson, and Cher are all mouthpieces and all connected and through the UN. Katy Perry, Scarlett Johansson, and Cher are all pro-Israel. And some of the other names I read through here, I've recognized that I've checked them out. Arquette is a mouthpiece for the United Nations, and I'm sure if I look it up, I'll find out that she's pro-Israel. Amy Schumer, I know, is pro-United Nations, and I'm sure pro-Israel. And so when I mentioned that they were mouthpieces for the UN and pro-Israel, it seemed to irritate some people. But you got to start right here. Organizers. Who organized this shit? Who organized this? Well, the same people that organized Idle No More and Occupy and all the rest of this nonsense. And who organized it? Well, the people involved with the United Nations and Israel who organized it. Period. And that pissed some people off. Well, hey, sorry. You don't have to be a freaking Einstein to figure this stuff out. You just got to think with a clear head, that's all. But too few can do that. Now, I don't know. I don't pay much attention to celebrities because, well, they irritate mostly. Paul Anka is out of the Trump inauguration. Let's see. Jennifer Holliday. I don't know who the hell Jennifer Holliday is. Looks like a black singer from where I'm sitting. Jennifer Holliday pulls up Trump inauguration to stand with the LGBT community. And who cranked up the LGBT community? Oh, I don't know. The Jews and the United Nations. But I'm some kind of a son of a bitch for bringing it up. Well, excuse me. Broadway star Jennifer Holliday is the latest performer to back out of the next week's, out of next week's presidential inauguration celebrations, saying she did not realize that her participation would be interpreted as a statement of support for President-elect Donald Trump. The move comes a day after singer Paul Anka announced he would no longer be singing at the January 20th ball, despite Trump being an old friend of his. Country star Toby Keith and rock band Three Doors Down and actor John Voight are still in the lineup to perform inauguration events. Anka, who had previously agreed to perform at the Inauguration Day gala, was for a first dance between Trump and his wife, blamed a scheduling conflict cancellation, but Holliday, best known for her Tony Award-winning role in Broadway's Dreamgirls, says she did it to support lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender fans. So she's doing it for a dollar. Now, I don't know if she's lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered myself. I don't know who this person is, but she did it to support her fans, because if she pisses off her fans, then her paycheck's going to get small. So she's doing that for a personal reason. Her reversal was first reported by The Wrap. The publication obtained a letter Holliday to her fans. Representative Bill Carpenter confirmed the details in the letter to the Associated Press. Quote, "My only choice must now be to stand with the LGBT community and to state unequivocally that I will not perform for the welcome concert for any of the inauguration festivities," she wrote. Quote again, "Please know that I hear you and I feel your pain. The LGBTQ community was mostly responsible for birthing my career. There we go again. And I'm deeply indebted to you," she said. "You have loved me faithfully and unconditionally. And for so many years, you provided me with work, even though my star had long since faded." So this is a personal decision. I don't know what her connection really is. This is getting weirder. In an interview with Associated Press on Friday, Holly defended her initial decision to perform. Quote, "I didn't see it as singing for Trump. I saw it as singing for the people on the mall," Holliday said. Holliday told the AP. So this was a good opportunity, she thought, to provide. The performer, who most recently starred on Broadway in The Color of Purple, said she was hurt by the angry backlash, which included calls to boycott her music. Others called her Uncle Tom, and there was even a suggestion that she take her own life. She quotes again, It just really made my heart drop to my feet," Holliday said. "How could I have this much hate spewing at me? And I haven't even done anything. I guess it's not like those old days when political views were your own and you had the freedom of speech. We live in a different time now, and the decision to go and do something for America is not so clear-cut anymore. No, not when you're bringing down the nation." Teen singer's transgender sister shows support. Holliday is not the only performer who has faced intense public pressure to back down from Thursday's concert at Washington. Teen opera singer Jackie Invenk, Tokyo, best known for her appearance on, of course, America's Got Talent, has faced criticism for her decision to sing the national anthem. The 16-year-old's transgender sister has recently come to her defense. Juliet appeared alongside Jackie on the CBS Sunday morning segment set to air this weekend, saying her sister is singing for our country, and it's an honor for her to be singing in front of so many people. Jackie told CBS she hopes her performance will bring people together and make everyone forget about rivals and politics for a second. Gay Republicans for Trump confront most anti-LGBT platform ever. Several other prominent entertainers have either declined to perform at Trump inaugural festivals or indicated they would decline if asked to, including Elton John, Garth Brooks, Kay West, Celine Dion, Moby, whoever the hell that is, Charlotte Church, Ice-T, Andrea Bocelli, and David Foster. A member of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir resigned from the famed group over its decision to perform. The Radio City Rockettes are slated to perform, though the union representing the dancers had said the participation is voluntary after some members of the troupe expressed discomfort with the decision. One person who wanted to play a role at the event but won't is Charles Brotman, the 89-year-old who has announced every inauguration parade since Dwight E. I'm a communist Eisenhower in 1957. CNN reported last week that Trump opted to break tradition and replace Brotman with Steve Ray, a 58-year-old Washington-based freelance announcer. The veteran announcer found out about the snub in an email from Trump's team. I looked at my email, and then I got the shock of my life, Brotman told CNN's Carlo Costello. I felt like Muhammad Ali had hit me in the stomach. He told CNN he was so distraught, he thought he was going to commit suicide. This is really pathetic. I mean, this is one freaking story, and I would hate to think how many stories similar to this are flying around out there. I'm sure... It's bizarre. It's absolutely freaking bizarre. Bruce Springsteen cover band changes tune and won't play at the Trump gala. Now, how bent are these people? I mean, how truly bent are these people? Pretty bent, I guess. What is this Trump guy going to do again? You know, that's got these people so jacked out of shape. It just shows you the depths of the Marxist communist movement in the United States. You know, and I put a post up, maybe it's time to resurrect McCarthyism. And that caught me a little bit of flack as well. But that's okay, because I don't mind. You know, we have our nations are boring, being torn to pieces. They are being simply destroyed. And it is most definitely a Marxist, communist, Jewish, and other people wish to, other control freaks who are involved in this. I mean, who took down Russia? The Jews and Marxists. So what's different here? Nothing. Same damn template. But these people, obviously, most of them went to school, most of them got an education, most of them have been in the entertainment, at least in this batch, or in the in this inauguration of Trump. But I never seen anything so crazy in my life. But these people, and if you get the chance, look it up. It's on the internet. Came out in 1987, the same year as the Grove-Rutland Report, which was written mostly by Rockefeller and Morris Strong. And Grove-Rutland was the vice president of Socialist International. And Morris Strong said he believes in capitalism for him and his friends, but socialism for everybody else. It's called control freak. That's called Marxism or communism, whatever term you wish to use. And this is exactly what's taking place. And we got it. We got to step up to the plate somewhere here. Now, people are starting to accuse me of being anti-Semitic. I have stayed away from the Jew story for a very, very long time. It's not something that really, I thought, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? What the hell's going on? It's not rocket science. This is something that I gotta get this out. Oh, yeah, back to this movie for a second. The movie is called America with a K, made for TV, with, I forgot his name now. Chris Christopherson is one of the stars in the made-for-TV 13-part series in 1987. Same freaking year as the Grutland Report. The Brundtland Report came out, which was the precursor to Agenda 21. And it's so accurate, it's nuts. You go watch that now, and you look at America now, and you say, damn, that's just like in made-for-TV series. Yeah. And what was the new flag when Christopherson got out of the re-education camp? What the hell was that flag that they gave allegiance to? On the one side was the American flag. On the other side was the Russian flag. And in the middle, joining the two flags together, was the United Nations flag. And was it called the Israeli flag, too, because those that set up the UN were Jews, basically. Now, when you go back and you look at, I forgot his name now. Anyways, the Rees Commission. What were they trying to do? They're trying to find out what the Rockefeller Foundation and all these other tax-exempt foundations were up to. I was told by somebody from the Ford Foundation, well, that's simple. Okay, we're basically commissioned to Sovietize America. So you can look at all these celebrities that are not going to go to... you can look at them as Soviet agents, for crying out loud. And that's what McCarthy was trying to warn about. This is their third kick at the can. The first communist scare, or red scare it was described, was right after World War I. And World War I was about setting up a world government through the United Nations and a state of Israel. It failed. Red Scare 2 came right after World War II. That's when McCarthyism kicked in. And that war, another war about setting up a state of Israel and a world government through the United Nations, not the League of Nations, but the League of Nations set the framework for the United Nations, and Israel got its state, turned down the first one that was offered to it, World War One. And that was Red Scare 2. Well, this is Red Scare 3. Now, either we strike them out, or they're going to hit a home run. If they hit a home run, well, the world's screwed, isn't it? Because, as Strong said, he believes in capitalism for himself and his friends, which are the multinational corporations, and socialism for everyone else. Now, a lot of these stars, so-called stars, are probably oblivious to most of this stuff because, well, their agents send them here and they get patronized over here. And, oh, you're so special. You should, you know, you should promote this UN agenda or that UN agenda, you know. And they stand up there and they talk about global warming. They talk about poverty. They don't have a freak but Jesus clue what they're talking about. They're just a bunch of puppets babbling away what they're told to babble. You know, they all fawned over Obama. Diversity, the evil. So this is where we're at. So I'm kind of looking forward to the 20th to see what happens there. Once Trump gets inside, we'll see what happens. The Kennedys got inside. I saw what happened. And we're going to see what happens when Trump gets inside. I think he's smart enough to know the lessons of the past. How big a player is he? He's pro-Israel, so he's obviously a player. He's anti-United Nations, but this is the game of the good cop, bad cop. And that's been played out throughout history. So we'll just have to sit back and wait till the 20th. We'll see what people show up there and which people don't. I'm hopeful that the rest of America sees these 100,000 or whatever idiots marching and protesting against something no clue about, unless they truly are Marxists. But I hope every one of them go bankrupt. I hope the rest of America and the rest of the world shuns these asses. Not because I'm pro-Trump, just because they're asses. And they're promoting anti-Americanism. And you're not going to have a nation if you're anti-nation. So you better become pro-nation. In other words, you best become a nationalist real freaking fast. Sounds like we're out of time. Have a great day, great night. I'm your host,
Don't you see why?